welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, your definitive Las Vegas entertainment podcast presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. As always, coming to you from the space here at Polaris and Harmon. Polaris and Harmon, ground zero for all things awesome in Las Vegas. Happy freaking 2019, Mark Chinook.
Hey, this is exciting. First podcast of the new year.
That's right.
So many great things planned for this show. I'm excited. This is going to be a great year for all the Vegas. Really excited.
We have a killer guest today to kick off the year. Hospitality legend, for sure. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, Mark, you started off your new year in pretty epic fashion. Do you want to tell me, what you were doing on New Year's Day?
I was spoiled. The National Hockey League invited me to host the Winter Classic this year. For those of you who don't know, the NHL hosts this game every year outdoors in a stadium. And a pretty iconic place this year. It was at Notre Dame Stadium. The Boston Bruins played host to the Chicago Blackhawks played host to the Boston Bruins. And it was in Notre Dame with 76,125 guests, a complete sellout. And it was just an epic atmosphere. You know, I'm used to hosting in the Fortress here at T-Mobile, and we get 18,000 screaming people. But when I was on that mic and telling people to stand up and get loud for a hockey game, and 76,000 people got up and started screaming, it was a cool thing to experience. And then also, too, I'm a big fan of Rudy, you know, the movie. And so I'm walking around those tunnels going, this is where Rudy came. This is the scene with the, and I'm like, I'm recreating things. It was a little goofy. So I was, I was a kid in a candy shop. But it was definitely an experience that I won't forget. I'm honored to be working with the NHL now and hosting some of their major events. And it's been a cool ride. But what an awesome way to start. It was on New Year's Day in Notre Dame Stadium. A lot of fun. Thanks for bringing that up.
You're going back and doing the All-Star Game again this year?
Yeah, I'll be in San Jose this year with the NHL for the All-Star Game. Marc-Andre Fleury is currently our only Golden Knight going up. There could be a vote somebody in thing, which I think is absolutely stupid, but that's okay. Marcia So may join if the votes are in his favor, but that's always a fun weekend, All-Star Weekend. The guys sort of let their hair down, and I actually put skates on, and I get on the ice with the guys during the skills competition, and it's again, just, you know, a cool experience. Kid from Canada who played the game, being able to be on the ice with the NHL's best going through a skills competition. I'm like, wait a minute, is this for real? It's been a cool ride, man.
Hope you don't got to shake the rust off the skates when you get out there.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to go out to CNA a few times before we get up there.
Well, that's awesome, man. Congrats.
Thanks, dude.
All that stuff that is going on. Super excited today to have Michael Morton with us here at this space. So I got the best job in Las Vegas. I get to talk to everybody from super famous headliners down to people doing everything behind the scenes, but there's really only a few people that you could say are like architects of what Las Vegas is right now. You are definitely that, man. You've done so much in this town over the years, and we're lucky to still have you here creating some of the great restaurant and nightlife experiences. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Brock. It's good to be here. And Mark, it's good to see you too. And as a sidebar, I actually did the Rudy after party after the premiere in Chicago when the movie came out. It was in the early 90s at Drink Chicago, and spent about 3 hours with Rudy that night. And what an incredible memory that was.
Yeah, he's a great
guy.
What
a great guy.
He's great, and he lives here.
He does.
Yeah, I'm pretty close with his ex-wife, Cheryl. She's a great woman, and Monday's Dark was able to partner with the Rudy Foundation early on, and cool. He's still in the Rolodex, man. He's a great guy, and I think he's going to Broadway for one night. I read that they're doing one night of him on a Broadway stage where he's going to get up and tell his story. So
fun.
He's still doing his thing, and his message is great. So,
Michael, last time I saw you, I didn't get a chance to bug you, or maybe I decided not to bug you, was at the Smashing Pumpkins concert at T-Mobile a few months back, which was pretty awesome. And I think you had, didn't you have Billy Corgan to one of your spots later on that night?
We did. We had dinner after the show. We went over to Crush at the MGM. And I, you know, being a couple Chicagoans, I've known Billy for a long time. Mm-hmm. And also going back to the early 90s, actually had him pop up in our stage in Chicago, at Drink Chicago with Cheap Trick. And it was amazing. And he just, we had Cheap Trick scheduled, and he just liked to jump up and do a couple tunes. And I thought that was one of the better shows I've ever seen.
That was pretty awesome.
Incredible. It was hard to believe how much time he took off.
Yeah.
And boy, does he still have it.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing show. And it was a really cool dinner, too. We didn't sit down till, I don't know, close to 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was good to catch up with him. He's a good guy.
Everything you do at some point is like the hot spot in town. The newest thing, newest restaurant project is the Greek Sneak, which is kind of a restaurant within a restaurant at Crush at MGM Grand. What inspired that concept? Because there's not a lot of Mediterranean food on the Strip. So what made you guys want to go in that direction there?
You know, it's such great food, right? And like you just said, there's just not much of it. And it's just not really, available on the Strip. And we have this beautiful back room at Crush. And Crush was just such a big restaurant. We didn't use it all the time unless there was a concert at the MGM Grand, unless there were, private parties and special events. And when we built the room, we barrel vaulted it in white brick. Mm-hmm. And so it had this Greek feeling to it. And I wound up going to another restaurant, Greek restaurant in town, and with my brother Peter, actually. And I started really thinking about Greek food. And I'd wanted to take this room because it was underutilized. And it was really the best looking part of the two rooms of Crush. And said, man, let's do something special with this room. It feels Greek. Funny enough, my sister had her birthday party in Greece. Unrelated, I was already scheduled to go to Greece. And just started, dragging Billy DeMarco, our executive chef, around. We started eating some Greek food. And it was great because the MGM guys and Scott Sabal and those guys were so cool, and they supported it. And, we had this sneaky little hallway between us and the old Grand Walk next to us. Mm. And it really just worked out perfectly. And it's got its own identity, it's become its own completely separate restaurant from the front door to its menu. And really has come out great. We were super, super happy.
Mm-hmm. Another recent project is a big renovation at La Cave at Wynn, which is one of those kind of hidden hot spots on the Strip. I know you have a real strong locals following at that Strip restaurant. What did you, and you just reopened it, right?
Well, we did. We were very, very honored that, Steve Wynn had called me a while back and said, hey, listen, your lease is coming up and, we would like to do something with you. And when we signed a new 10-year lease, and it's always been the Wynn's, position that after 6 or 7 years, they like to, refresh in their spaces. Mm-hmm. And so it was just perfect timing because we opened that in December of 2010. And it's been an amazing place. And like you said, a hidden spot. Our subtext is Wine and Food Hideaway because it is around the corner. And it's just such a great feeling of a space inside of it. But got very, we asked them if we could expand the restaurant because it's very small. But so the expansion, it's going to be like a little peninsula. So it'll be three-sided and glass out towards the Wynn pool and garden. And we, while we're at it, we renovated and refreshed the original space, which just came out great. Mm-hmm. It's the expansion is the size where it still maintains its character. It's not, some radical departure because it's worked so well for us and people love it. And, we were very lucky that we got to use our own designer and they allowed that. Of course, at that time with Steve Wynn and Roger Thomas, of course, keeping a close eye on what we're doing mm-hmm. every step of the way. So we got to refresh it and get to expand it. And so we'll have this new room, which will literally be three sides of glass that we can, but all the sides open from floor to ceiling. So we can really open it up. And it's just a great view looking out at the Wynn Pool and Gardens. And that will open in about, so the original rooms reopened on December 27th. Which were, was the goal for New Year's and for CES, which we're doing right now, of course. And then about 6 weeks from now, right around March 1st, the new room will open. And
perfect. Just yeah, it's gonna be cool. Spring brunching.
That'll be a great vibe with all three walls pulled away and everybody eating with each other.
Yeah, we had a great little outdoor deck there, but it was really small. And of course, you know, we know here in Vegas, too hot, too cold, too windy, it limits, you know, the availability to have those things open. So to really have the best of both worlds with the ability to open it up but and close it at the same time. So,
Mark, if you haven't brunched at La Cove, you need to get that up on your list. I know you love brunch. That is like, they did a whole different thing there. They kind of, are you guys still
the butler style. So everything is tray passed. And we give you a printed menu just so you can, you know, pace yourself.
Yeah.
So you leave enough room for your favorites. And everything is passed. You never have to get out. And you know what? I want one more of these or two of those or, you know, and it's really a great experience. Yeah, really, really love our brunch.
I don't pace myself. I do too much.
Yeah, we've had a brunch together, and we almost need assistance leaving after the brunch experience.
Wheelchairs.
We'll put it on the list.
Wheelchairs and IVs.
It's a good problem.
That's how you I'm excited to try the new Greek place because I haven't been there yet, and I'm a big fan of MGM Grand, and you mentioned Scott Sabella. The guy's so supportive of ideas, and I think that's why that property still remains so successful and such at the top of their label, their brand. Everybody loves going to the MGM Grand. You know, it's an iconic place, and I love everything about it, so that's exciting.
Yeah, and you know, the MGM Grand is really started reprogramming a lot more concerts. With the Golden Knights across the street, and MGM's just fun, just a super energy there, and Scott's amazing. He's a great guy.
I don't think
very supportive.
Ever been there where it's just not a good time? Mm-hmm. You know, even on our supposed slow seasons, I've been rolling through MGM Grand, and I'm like, it's not slow. This is outstanding, and they have a great, you know, library of restaurants on that property, so you can't go wrong.
And of course, sitting here with you, Mark, and the Golden Knights, I mean, it's great. You know, it only takes about 10 minutes to walk out of our restaurant and walk all the way to the park, and you're right there. It seems more daunting or further than that. It's really easy, and it's been fun. Go have dinner and walk across the street and go see a game.
Now, you have the advantage and benefit of operating a restaurant at MGM Grand at Wynn downtown, with La Comida, and at the Hard Rock Hotel with MB Steak. You have all these different concepts working together and providing all these different experiences for tourists and locals. What is your like creative process like when you're, okay, we're doing a new restaurant. Where does the concept start? Where does the inspiration come from? Like, what is that process like for you guys?
It usually starts, and I don't like to be too formulaic because I like to, you know, get a feel for this stuff. It usually comes from travels, you know, and I'll hit a spot, be like, man, this place is so cool. There's nothing like, and you still, that's the great thing about this business that I'm in, because even in Vegas, that's got everything. You think it has everything. It doesn't. And that's why there's always something new and there's always something new coming. And that's what keeps this town so, so fun. And, that kind of happened at La Cove. You know, I went to this killer wine bar restaurant, full restaurant, full menu, and got very lucky to take something that was my inspiration. And then, sitting down with, at the time, was Andrew Pascoe, was the president at the time, who really got it, and they wanted something more entrepreneurial over there at the time. And then, of course, looking at the, you know, their portfolio of restaurants and saying, this concept fits in perfectly for this property, because there was really nothing like it at the time. And that was kind of early on in the, in the small plates, which seemed to be all over it today. And so that was kind of new, you know, this focus of having, just this really cool, different kind of wine list, a little bit more boutique-y with some cult wines and be able to come taste a bunch of different, you know, foods and share, you know, these small plates. And so that kind of thing will happen, and it was kind of similar for La Comida, you know, in that we love Mexican. Why is it where, you know, and really going to particularly one place in New York City that is one of my favorite restaurants in New York, and saying, why isn't this represented in Las Vegas, you know, and just thought downtown was the perfect place for it. and La Comida really came out. We're just thrilled with how it worked out down there. And it just fit, you know? And so trying to come up with this inspiration, then trying to get it into the right location. You know, I've seen people who will find, and everybody's got their own styles, right? We'll find a location, we'll try to then come up with a concept for it. That, to me, I don't like to work that way. I like to find the idea and then to put it into a location. But of course, there's always variations of that. Mm-hmm. And the Hard Rock was one of those. And it's interesting now thinking about it because, you know, at the Palms and when we had the Nine Group, we had several places all in one building, mm-hmm. which was amazing. And there was still a 5-year run at, you know, that, well, we were there for 10 years, but that there was that 5-6 year period at the Palms where it was, people are still saying today, that was the greatest 5 years yeah. in Vegas. So it was just a special time and it was neat and it was a different world back then, not that long ago. But it's a lot of fun to be in different properties and not have all of your eggs in one basket, but you know, to go out and get a steakhouse exclusive at the Hard Rock, it's very, very hard to get a steakhouse exclusive in this town. I would say it's next to impossible.
Yeah.
Was really, you know, and then some of the history there with my brother building the hotel and so forth. So that was a little bit more of that direction there. So they all kind of have their own, you know, but we really like to be inspired and see something really special and then try to find the best location for it.
Mm-hmm. MB Steak is outstanding. You know, I'm there probably 2-3 times a week at the bar just because of Magic Mike next door. And I got to say, the design is really cool, what you did with the space, because I remember when you guys announced it was coming, and I'm like, we're going to put a steakhouse in this spot? Well, how's this going to work? And then upstairs, blowing out the wall and adding the windows, creating a separate entrance, a separate valet. You have your own valet right off of Harmon. It's unbelievable. And I remember I was there on your soft opening and the chandelier or the light fixture wasn't in yet in the dining room. Wherever that came from, that's worth going to eat just to sit underneath that light fixture because it's pretty badass.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Where did that come from? What's the design background on that?
We designed that and you know, started with some drawings and then let those kind of, you know, take a few passes at those. And then we, once we really got it to a set of working drawings, then we went out and had that custom made in LA. Yeah. And you know, it was a great warehouse space there. You know, they had, it was a great space that was being used as a warehouse. So it was 34, 35 foot ceilings. We love that location on Harmon. Mm-hmm. We all know the strip can be challenging depending on the location. So the ability to get in and get out was great, and having our own valet and really trying to, you know, compress the space there as we did with the lower ceilings and then upstairs with the big and higher up with the garden bar and the operable windows. And we were just really, really excited how it came out.
Yeah, it's definitely an intimate space in the dining room, and you know you're in a steakhouse, but at the same time, you don't feel like you're in a steakhouse. You're in a really cool restaurant, and it's just a great vibe. It's just a really great vibe in there. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I love that bar too, and that upstairs room. I think one of the things that I think sets your concepts apart is that they all feel like, even though they're new, they're obviously new, and there's that excitement, but they feel kind of lived in already. La Comida is a great example of that too. That you walk in that place and you're like, oh, this is the cool Mexican bar and restaurant that has been in downtown Las Vegas for 50 years, but it hasn't been anywhere near that long, of course.
That's the whole, you know, I appreciate that. That's the whole goal, right? And you know, it was a great old building, and it was an old laundry facility for the El Cortez, and I walked into it, and it was, you couldn't believe what this building looked like. There were underground water, there was actually an oil tank. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the previous use for that, and that was tough to pull it out. And you know, the entry, the LE entryway. And then, you know, it sounds easy from a design standpoint to try to make something feel old. It's really tough in a lot of places try to do it. And it doesn't feel old. It feels new. You know, for that little Mexican joint, man, that was a lot of work. We put as much work into that as we do for anything else. And, you know, we pulled stained glass out of an old church in Chicago. We pulled floors out of that we found that were pulled out of a couple buildings in Mexico. And so it all came, you know, really well together. But if you look up at the ceiling, for instance, we just had some fun with it, right? I think what normally people do is they'll put their HVAC in, they'll send it to an engineer, and they'll see this straight run and these straight runs. We said, no, let's twist it. Let's make it old. Let's make it unique. And, you know, one of my favorite things is we went out and found, and I saw this in Chicago, they found these old 70s, well, we wanted speakers, right? So we found these old wooden cabinets like you had, Rick, when I grew up. And then we beat the heck out of them. And then we put all new components in it and tilted them all in different angles. And so, you know, some people say devil's in the details. We like to say God's in the details, right? Because that's what really, I think, you know, hopefully it makes the place special when it's done.
Yeah. When you go to eat at one of these places, it's not just going out to dinner. There's always a scene at these places, which is not surprising considering that what you've done over the years in Vegas is combine restaurant and nightclub and different kinds of nightlife venues. Obviously, your focus now is on restaurants, but your first Vegas venture was The Drink, which was one of the pioneering clubs, one of the first real clubs ever to open in Las Vegas that kind of set the trend for casinos to start putting nightclubs on their properties. Today, I don't know how much you get out to the clubs these days. I'm guessing it's about not very much.
you know, it's funny, thinking about that before I came in today. So when I sold, you know, the old Nine Group back to the Palms in January of 11, you know, we had Moon and Ghost Bar and Rain and, you know, all these nightlife, you know, venues. And I've not stepped foot into a nightclub since January of 11. And I'm a big believer in when you've done something and you feel that you got out on top, that was your time. Mm-hmm. That was your time. And so, you know, I spent 20 plus years owning nightclubs. And, you know, at my age right now, and, you know, it was just, sometimes you just get lucky, right, too. And I feel like I exited that at the perfect time. And I have not, I get people in the clubs all the time. And I got a lot of friends in the club business still here. You know, mutual friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's fun because they have a great time. And, you know, just to touch on Drink for a second. So, you know, I came here. I was looking to do Drink LA after Drink Chicago. And I was like, you know, the liquor licenses are 2 a.m. And, you know, this was, you know, in the mid-90s. And mm-hmm. everybody's driving and DUIs. You know, I'm from Chicago, right? We have a 5 o'clock license and... So it just didn't feel right, and I wound up coming here, and my brother Peter was actually building the Hard Rock at the time, and so we started going out more here, and said, man, why are there no real nightclubs in Las Vegas? And I knew at that point that was going to be a really good thing or a really bad thing if we opened a nightclub here, and it wound up being obviously a really good thing, and you know it was amazing to see this line. We built that building in Harmon and Koval. Mm-hmm. Kitty Court of the old family theme park at the MGM, which, you know, that phase that went through, and the lines were around the building, and the limos were from every, you know, casino property on the strip. Little did I know then that they would do their very, very best to put me out of business, because mm-hmm. that's what the casinos do, is if they see something that works, they bring it into the casinos. Got very lucky to meet George Maloof at that time, which brought us to the next phase, you know, of a big move here in Vegas for a long time. And but it was just, Drink was an amazing place, and we had we rocked it pretty hard there. We had the rooms all wrapped around an outdoor courtyard, and we'd be out there till the sun came up. But our neighbors across the street weren't really thrilled with it, so we did wind up building a roof on that.
What's it like now, being, you know, an observer, still close to this industry in Las Vegas, yet not directly involved? But what's it like being an observer and just seeing where the nightclub business has gone in Las Vegas and where it is now?
Well, it's incredible, because, you know, the amazing thing about Las Vegas is when we do it better than anybody else anywhere. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of that. And, you know, I think it's tough now because the artists are making so much money. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing if you own the casino and you're filling restaurants and you're filling bars and you're getting table play and so forth. But, you know, these artists, you know, we grew up, we liked rock and roll stars. Today, you know, kids like my kids, you know, want to see DJs and follow DJs. And, you know, they're incredibly well paid, it's just part of the market and supply and demand. But I love those, like, Paul Oakenfold days that we had at Rain, right? When you could get an amazing artist and still make money. and still really make money. So the game has changed. I would have never thought really when, you know, in our heyday that we would be competing with the Wynn, mm-hmm. right? That Steve Wynn would actually get into the nightclub business. And that's the thing about Vegas is it just keeps evolving and it keeps changing. And, you know, it's powerful what takes place here. And if you look back at the drink days in the mid-90s, this town was largely still based on gaming revenue. And I think that really showed that there is a lot of other revenue. Of course, Steve brought all those great restaurants Steve Wynn brought all those great restaurants into Bellagio in 98. And, you know, it's evolved and continued to change, which is, I think, only made this a much more diverse, much more interesting town from a nightlife perspective and a hospitality perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oki was back over New Year's weekend this year at Chateau, I think.
Oh, was he at Chateau?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit before that, and he was definitely reminiscing on the days at Rain. And that, I mean, that a lot of people don't realize that was the first big DJ residency in a Vegas club that
Paul was
started
amazing.
This whole craze off.
Yeah, Paul is just he's just a great guy. He's super talented. You know, we also had DJ AM. Unfortunately, when he passed away, he was spinning for us at Rain. And you know, those were different days. Those were really, really fun days. The scene was different. The clubs weren't as big. You know, you didn't have 80,000 square foot clubs back then. You only had 40,000 square foot clubs. So, you know, sometimes bigger is better. Sometimes it's not. But, you know, if there's any place that can go out and justify building that kind of a space and spending that kind of money, it's here in Las Vegas. I don't know that you ever really see that at that level.
Right.
And back when I was still in the business, I would always add up the new occupancy. And from all the new clubs, and it just kept growing, mm-hmm. quarter to quarter, just kept growing, and year to year. And it seems it's leveled off a bit now.
Yeah,
you know, most of the properties are super well represented, and some of these will get redone at some point and so forth. But it's an important part of this town's business, obviously, mm-hmm. our livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were so instrumental collaborating with George Maloof in creating the Palms. That was, like you said, kind of those glory days of Vegas and really attracting a new audience to Las Vegas, right? Before that, there wasn't a lot of marketing. There wasn't a lot of reasons for people in their 20s to come the way that they do now and have been ever since you guys did that stuff. That property is owned by Station Casinos now. They've been doing a lot of renovating and bringing new things in. We talked about this a lot on our last show. What's it like to sit back and watch how the Palms is evolving these days?
Well, it's interesting, you know, having been there and watching the original, I still have the photos up on my wall, you know, of when it was just structural steel and the floors going in and being a part of something, you know, that was just, you know, sometimes the constellations will line up and you're just at the perfect place at the perfect time. It's a lot of hard work and some luck and, you know, obviously, the Fertittas are putting a ton of money into it. It's cool to see them reviving that property. It really needed it. Mm-hmm. You know, when the Palms was built, again, you know, the Wynn wasn't into nightlife. There was no Hakkasan. Cosmopolitan really, you know, changed the competitive landscape also. It was, you know, really going after that Palms model on the Strip and bigger and better. And you've got to redo these properties. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, it's getting close. I poke my head around there every once in a while, go see, so I still have a lot of old employees working there and so forth, but it'll never be the same. It can't be. And that's the part of the dynamic energy that takes place in this town. What made the Palms, you know, the king of the hill, and if you could ever be the king of any hill once in your lifetime, you've done something that you would probably never expect, and I feel so lucky that we were. But the town is just bigger. It's more powerful. You know, it's going to take several hundred million dollars to do the things that they're doing there. And to give the Palms really the chance to be something special again. Mm-hmm. But, we kind of owned it. I don't think anybody can own it ever again. And even putting that kind of money in, you just can't. And what's really interesting is competing with the Hard Rock for all those years, and my brother owned it, and now to be at the Hard Rock...
Yeah.
You know, now I'm across the street and watching this kind of virgin thing take shape. It's kind of a whole deja vu moment. So it's cool. You know, and that's just, I don't know anywhere else that happens, but in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was just thinking when you were saying that one thing that I don't feel like happens now in nightlife and just the general, like, what's cool in Vegas right now? Where does everybody want to go? There was that really strong competition between the Palms and the Hard Rock for many years. You kind of brought that with the drink. Your brother opened the Hard Rock Hotel and captured a lot of the spotlight. You come back with Nine Group stuff at the Palms, wrestle it away from him once again. I don't see that kind of, I mean, it's definitely a competitive industry these days, but not the way that it was back then in the 90s and the early 2000s.
No, it's just, I think there's just too much capacity. Not too much, but there's so much more. There's just so much more capacity. The town has got so many more layers to it. If you look at what the landscape looked like, hard to believe the Palms was open in 2001, right? Yeah. Open just after 6 weeks after 9/11. And my brother Peter, when he opened the Hard Rock, man, that just gave such new meaning to cool. I mean, I don't know if you guys were around back then, but it's interesting. So the Hard Rock opened, the hotel opened in March of 95, and we opened Drink in May of 95. And that little corridor, we were shuttling up and back, and it was just cool. And Peter just, man, just brought that. You would sit down at a table at the Hard Rock back in the mid-90s, man. It was like, the cool scene from L.A. just kind of sat down next to you, or you sat down next to them, and it was just kind of changed this town because, again, it was so consolidated. That young, cool, hip scene was so consolidated at the Hard Rock, And then it went to the Hard Rock in the Palms, and those were, I don't know that you'll ever see that kind of cool in one place again because, again, it's just grown so much. But there's a lot of it here, and a lot of cool stuff and a lot of cool properties. But the Hard Rock days and then the Palms days, those were special. I feel so lucky to have been a part of it.
I remember those days. I know I look like I'm really young and in great shape, but I'm actually pretty old. And I was around for those days.
I don't see those things, but that's okay. My first visit to Las Vegas was at the Palms, and I'll never forget walking out to that pool for the first time and going, "What is going on over here?" But I agree with you. I think there is that thing that we miss in Vegas now of having that sort of spot. There's a lot of hip restaurants and great nightclubs that have popped up and are still thriving in Las Vegas. But I think the overall feel that the Palms and the Hard Rock had of just being, I don't need to go anywhere else when I'm in Las Vegas. I don't think there's a hotel that has encompassed that yet. I know some are trying to sort of be that place where you don't have to leave the property. We have great shows. We got restaurants. We're right here. Everybody pushes that. But I think the Hard Rock and the Palms, when they were in their prime, you really didn't leave the Hard Rock and you didn't leave the Palms when you came to town for a weekend. You stayed put because there was enough to do, or it was the scene to be at. Even the cafes and the center bars and the bars in the lobby, like, those were scenes too. And I'm sad in a sense that the Hard Rock is becoming virgin, because I think it's such an iconic brand. First off, it's even the restaurants and the other casinos owned by the, I think they're game, what are you, Indian Gaming owned mm-hmm. properties. They're all so iconic and carry a jeans and t-shirt vibe, which I don't think exists in Las Vegas anymore. That I'm okay walking in here with my leather jacket on and a pair of blue jeans, and it's just a chill, cool place to be, and I'm going to miss it. I really am. I think it's going to be sad when that thing closes. Because it's just legend. It's legendary.
Yeah. I remember staying at the Hard Rock when it first opened, and the pool, it was a lot smaller back then. It was just super cool. And I remember looking up and seeing Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson hanging out at their balcony, kind of shaking off the cobwebs from the night before, and it was just
cobwebs and whatever else.
Yeah, God only knows whatever else.
Cobwebs and quotations.
But it was, there was just a hipness to it that I don't know that you can ever recapture that again here and anywhere. It was just a moment in time. It was really, really, really special.
I love everything about that place, man. Even the the pictures in the rooms. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when we were doing an event there, I always grab a room and I just stay there. The pictures and the pictures in the rooms are just
pictures are
cool. They're just badass. Yeah. You know, they're all legendary yeah. rock and roll icons, and you walk into this hip room and you're like, yeah, this is cool. I wonder who else stayed here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be missed.
You've probably had a lot of deja vu moments and a lot of guests coming in having deja vu moments since MB Steak opened at the Hard Rock. People from years ago kind of following you around and coming back and probably happy to be at that property, especially at a restaurant where you and your brother David created.
Yeah, you know, I think the Hard Rock changed a lot over the years and changed hands and, you know, with some different ownership. And it's what was really fun is to see people say, you know what, man, I haven't been to Hard Rock in a while. And getting... You know, we've always, you know, our best successes in this industry have always been when we've had a long, strong local presence. We did, a drink was a local machine, and of course, then brought the tourists, the Palms, and you know, listen, you know, George Maloof was the king of local things, you know, and in addition, of course, all the cool stuff he did. But, you know, it was fun to reintroduce, you know, try to help reintroduce do our part to help reintroduce the Hard Rock. You know, to get people that maybe take it for granted sometimes, or there's been a lot of new things over the years, and the Hard Rock's been here for a long time. But you know, and it will be sad to see it change, but it's also super exciting because mm-hmm. you've got to evolve or you will die, and the Hard Rock needs it. Virgin will be Virgin, and there's a Richard, you know, Bosworth Boz, who is the CEO, I can't tell you what a dynamic, smart guy he is, and have an owner on property, mm-hmm. you know, is what the property needed. And he's in the restaurant 5-6 days a week, day and night, working. And it's going to be a great evolution. And to see, you know, Richard Branson, you know, talk about iconic, right? And so we just feel very fortunate that it's going to be a Virgin Hotel.
Yeah, it is. It is really exciting. It's always exciting to have new operators at any property in Las Vegas. Always shakes things up. Change is always good. And yeah, it's not. This is a great brand that's coming. This is not just something you never heard of before. Trying to start something new in Las Vegas. These guys are proven operators, and they've been wanting to get into this market for a long time. And it's going to be super exciting to see what happens next there. MB Steak is going to remain. Through the transition,
we're going to be one of the few things that are going to, you know, survive the change. We got a couple wrinkles up our sleeve for a couple new things that we're going to do that I'll let Boz you know, deliver the message on for that, and just, you know, and just getting excited for I don't know if you guys follow Branson on Instagram. I mean, what this guy does is mind-blowing from the Rockets. Just I'm just tired following him on Instagram, how many planes that, you know, how many plane rides he must be on every day for all these different places he is and all the things that he does. It's just incredible. But they've got a whole team, and there's going to be some you know, again, I'll let Boz and Virgin deliver the news, but they're going to take this property a whole different direction. It's going to be fun, and it's, you know, a win for Virgin will be a win for Las Vegas too, because the one thing, and I think we saw that during the recession when, you know, we went many years without a new hotel being built, people come to Las Vegas to see a new property, and so this will just be another reason. And it's good to see some new stuff going up on the strip and keep it moving forward, right?
Yeah, whenever I think of Richard Branson, he's always got Elvis jumpsuit and fake sideburns on in my mind, because when they started having Virgin flights direct to Vegas from, I think, London, mm-hmm. that was the big media event. He got off the plane with the Elvis outfit on.
You know what else he did during that is him and he reached out to George, or George to him. I'm not sure how that went down. But, you know, with his proclivity for great PR moves, he rappelled. I remember this. Remember, he rappelled off the Palms, and it was a windy day, and so he was hitting the Palm. Yeah. He got a little banged up on the way down. Yeah. He was hitting the building on the way down, and still wanted to do it. And So, you know, if he were pulled off the Palms to launch a domestic airline flight, I can only imagine what they've got up their sleeve right now for the Virgin opening. It's going to be fun.
Hopefully no one's going to repel. I'm concerned about people repelling.
I'm excited for it. I'm in the show Magic Mike right next door 5 nights a week, and the grumblings and the rumors and the people talking about renderings that they've caught glimpses of, and it's going to be an unbelievable transition. I hope it goes smoothly and quickly. I hate waiting. Yeah. I'm not a good waiter.
Well, you know what? I like what they're doing, unlike another property in town, is I like that they're going to shut it down, get all the work done, and rebrand the property. And that's the only way, I think, truly to have a true re-grand opening and not see it in piecemeals and the new restaurant's in, the new lounge is in, the pieces in, you know. I really like that they got McCarthy doing it, who's building the new Raider Stadium, and they got an incredible team. So I really like that idea. I mean, nobody likes to close anything down, but that's, you know, as opposed to try to just keep one tower open and deal with dust and noise. And
but I think
and
that goes with no what amenities. You're saying about how he does openings. You know, he's going to make, it's going to be an opening. And we haven't had that in Las Vegas in a long time.
Yeah.
Even when I wasn't living here as an outsider, keeping an eye on what's happening in this town, something like that hasn't happened in a long time. Even when they opened the SLS, when that slowly sneaked out and you'd see certain pieces. And I remember they had their official grand opening, but you were in the property seeing things as it was flipped over. And I'm excited.
Right.
I'm excited. Can you imagine the auction with all the... I don't know what they've planned with the Hard Rock memorabilia.
You're going to have to get in on that and get some of those pictures from the hotel rooms that you like so much.
Well, that's easy. I'm just bringing big luggage.
Mark, why do you have 12 duffel bags?
Yeah, I don't know. I just took Pamela Anderson's picture at a Suite B. But they've got so much memorabilia on the floor. I'm sure they'll move it to other Hard Rock locations, or who knows what their plans are, but... You know, that's another thing I think you take for granted. And I know I do, because I walk that building 5 days a week. And wait a minute, I just walked by Prince, you know, and what he wore. I know by the men's room that I use, there's a Beatles case that's probably got millions of dollars. I don't know.
That's my favorite thing in that. Yeah, that case, that's my favorite
that
thing.
That Beatles case is epic. And I know what some of the stuff in that case is worth, because I've seen them on, you know, little things passing by eBay or whatever sales. The stuff in there is
so cool. It's the so old picture cool. of Springsteen at the VIP check. Yeah. I mean, there's you go around that property. It's just kudos to them, because they've got such incredible art.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, although you, like me, appear to be ageless, very
You're
youthful,
kind as well as wise, Brock.
you have in fact been around for a little bit, and you actually have kids that are getting kind of old now. I wonder. Obviously, your family background, you've been in this industry before you were born. Are your kids interested in hospitality in any kind of way? Are you like, do you try to steer them away from it, or do you?
Well, let me just tell you, first of all, I'm rapid aging, because I've got three teenagers. And I mean rapid aging. I've got great kids, and I do have three teenagers, and it's... A little scary sometimes how fast it's gone. But, you know, I was very forced into this business. At a very young age, there was a restaurant very close to where I grew up. I worked weekends. I washed floors. I bussed tables. I was, you know, a porter. I cut steamship rounds on a buffet for many, many years. And, you know, I look back today and I'm very thankful for that opportunity and very blessed. But... I really don't push my kids at all into it. I told them if they want to learn about this business, I would love to teach it to them. And if there's something else you want to do, God bless you, because I don't think you can be good at anything in life unless you're super, super excited about it and passionate. And as we know, there's far too many people that wake up every day and really don't want to go to work, you know, and I don't really look at what I do as work, and because I enjoy it. It's just my career, and I'm just hopeful that my kids will find it somehow too. So they're smart and young, and got one will be going off to college this fall, my oldest. And but no, I've not pushed it on them.
We'll see what they do. We never know. They could be completely uninterested and then come back to it later on and who knows, carry on the family legacy.
You know what? My great-grandfather had a little shot and beer place up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And I have one picture of it, and there's horses tied up front and wooden signs, nickel beers, nickel, you know, nickel shots of whiskey. And then my grandfather had one restaurant in the South Shore of Chicago in Hyde Park. And then my dad, you know, of course, had worked for Playboy for a long time and Half. And then, you know, wound up really being known for the Morton Steakhouse brand. And my brother Peter, of course, the Hard Rock. And I've got a brother in Chicago that's got a dozen. David, my partner at MB. And I've got a sister that's got restaurants in Chicago. And Peter's twin Pam ran Morton's in LA at Melrose and Robertson for 20 years. And it's just part of our family. It's just part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would love to see my kids get into it if they want to. It'd be fun to see it go for another generation. Mm-hmm.
I think every time we have a guest on that's in the restaurant business, and I speak just from experience because I'm the youngest of five. My dad turns 80 in 3 weeks. It's about family. You know, like everything we talk about sort of in my world revolves around the kitchen, you know, and I love going home and my nieces and nephews are there and, you know, my parents have a beautiful home, but where do we hang out when we're home? In the kitchen, sitting around the island or the table or whatever, and nobody leaves the kitchen. And we joke now that when we all come home for an event or something, we joke to my mom that the kitchen's open, you know, because there's just the two of them now and they eat out a lot or they, you know, have stuff brought in. And we love when the kitchen is open. And I, you know, just hearing you speak about family and your sisters and brothers doing what they're doing, it to me, it's just memories of being in a kitchen. And it's what you said, Brock, earlier about feeling like these restaurants have been here for a minute. You just feel comfortable eating in your establishments. And I think it's just sort of a reflection of your family. And I'm fortunate that we have this opportunity to chat and actually go to your places. Like I love walking into MB in between shows at the Hard Rock because I feel like I'm part of this, I want to say family again, but I'm walking into this cool spot and I'm okay here. You know, I'm comfortable here and it's been great.
It's still one of the great things about this town is for all the growth and for all the people that have moved here since, you know, I've been here, it's still a small town.
Yeah.
And it's still a small town and, you know, there's that nice smaller town feeling to it. I know people don't get that when there's, you know, 45 million whatever visitors rolling through. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, I run into you, Mark, all the time and Brock. And it's just part of what, you know, I love to live here, too.
What do you think of the expansion of restaurants? Because we've had guests on that have opened restaurants off the strip now. I feel like Vegas has become a great food town off the strip as well. Some amazing restaurants. Like, you live here. You know, you got to eat. It's great to witness the growth of the food expansion off the strip.
It really is, especially if you look at Spring Mountains and a lot of the great spots over there. I wish more of those would head up to Summerlin, where I live. Yeah. But it's you know, I think it's that, you know, kind of baby step. You know, the local food scene just keeps baby stepping itself forward. I office downtown. I own a building downtown just off of a Charleston and Casino Center. And you know, like Esther's Kitchen is like four doors from me, you know? I mean, that's just one of those new, you know, great things that you can walk around and there's a lot of solid options and great operators. So it's nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, party people. Timeless. Vampire-like, ageless, beautiful party people. It's time to do the Vegas you need. And that is where we are going to recommend some of our favorite things right now in Las Vegas that everybody should check out. Michael, you get to go first. What is the Vegas you need?
So a buddy of mine is friends with Piff, the show Piff, and said, got us some tickets, and we're going to go. It's kind of like, oh, you, really? This guy's walking around in some, like, Godzilla suit and so forth. And I'll tell you, Piff was amazing. And, you know, I love those old kind of, like, dirty, rundown showrooms, you know? It's small. It's got, you know, a lot of wear and tear in it. And Piff was, I mean, hilarious. He is super talented. You know, he only does like maybe like four magic tricks, and the magic tricks were amazing. Mm-hmm. I see why he got his own, you know, gig here versus a lot of people that come off some of these shows and they don't work out. Go see Piff. And don't forget his dog, Mr. Piffles.
That's right.
Yes.
That's a great pick. Piff the Magic Dragon.
Piff the Magic Dragon.
Anytime you can incorporate a dog into your show, I'm all for it.
And his sidekick, you know, in that Joker outfit and the showgirl. That's it. It's like...
Yeah, there's never, nothing has ever gone wrong with Animal Acts in Las Vegas.
Well.
Piff the Magic Dragon is at Bugsy's Cabaret at the Flamingo, I think most nights now. I think he's like a nightly, except for one night show.
A lot of fun.
Go check that out for sure. Mark, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the new nightlife experience, since we talked about it so much today, On the Record, which just opened at the Park. Owned by the Houston brothers, Houston Hospitality out of Los Angeles. And, you know, I lived in LA for about 8 years on and off and would frequent a lot of their establishments in LA, you know, Davy Wayne's Break Room, and to see On the Record now appear at the Park, and obviously a much larger endeavor than the bars in LA. It's a cool scene. I think they've done a great job at what we talked about as well today, where they've made something sort of feel like it's been there for a minute. I like the intimacy of it. I like the random acts that just happen. The Leak just announced they're going to be the house band there. I love The Leak. They're a local band, so it's great to see a local band get a shot at a sort of an ongoing gig there. So props to the guys in The Leak.
That's super cool.
Yeah, really cool. Great young musicians here from Vegas. The karaoke rooms, the decor, the whole vibe in there is just, it's neat. And I spent a lot of time over there because I'm at the hockey games, and I'm just excited to see that sort of corridor again. Like we were saying, being able to walk over from MGM Grand or go over to the Park or even New York, it's, I think what the Golden Knights have done has pushed the envelope to MGM to make sure that New York, the Park, and MGM Grand are up to par now with what the Golden Knights have brought to the city. And I think that it's a club, but it doesn't feel like you're walking into a big nightclub, and it's all, you know, all ages can go there. You know, Brock, you can go there with your senior discount and still have a great time.
At last.
So that's my pick for today.
I haven't been to On the Record. I have been in and toured the space. I haven't been there since it was officially opened. But what I do appreciate about what they're doing so far is mixing up the music offerings. They're mm-hmm. having fun with having DJs and live yep. bands, sometimes at the same time.
Yep, there's performance around, elements.
And they've had some names, big names in there that don't come through the Vegas club circuit very much in their first few weeks, like Questlove and KRS-One, and Naughty by Nature popped up on stage the other night. So,
well, The Leak, you know, I follow these guys, and The Leak have played here at the space, and you know, that perfect example is The Leak gets up on stage at this club, and Quest is up there jamming with them. Like, what an experience for that band, mm-hmm. you know. And don't get me wrong, they deserve it. They're going to be probably household, hopefully sooner rather than later. They deserve it. But again, just a cool experience with the whole Park rebranding and redesign and all the restaurants rolling in there too. It's just a cool addition. What do you got?
Good word, Mark. I'm gonna do comedy.
Oh,
I'm gonna switch it up.
You're so funny.
There's a new comedy resident, I guess a limited time resident, at the SLS that just started this past weekend, and it's Monique, a stand-up comedian. You probably know her. She's been in millions of TV shows and millions of movies, but stand-up is her main gig, and she's been, you know, she came up during that Def Comedy Jam era. She did the Kings and Queens of Comedy tour for a bunch of years, and now she is playing at the Sayers Club at SLS, also home to Eddie Griffin some nights. So she's going to be switching out with him until the end of February, so plenty of opportunity. It's also a really cool show to happen at SLS, where there's some change taking place right now. They're redoing the casino and going to be bringing in some different entertainment as well. So,
yeah, excited to see what they do over there, because I was just there recently, and I went into Sayers Club for a private event. I was invited to a private event, and the entire casino's closed off. You walk in that great entryway, there's a wall of drywall staring at you. So I was shocked because I didn't know it was happening. I was like, they're making some moves over here.
Got to keep an eye on those walls. Progress.
Yeah, progress. Right. Progress. Post no bills. I want somebody to spray paint that on one of them just once. Post no bills. I loved that walking through, New York City. And they got that spray painted everywhere on scaffold, and then you turn the corner and they're just plastered.
That's an important property. That really is the bridge to downtown, and so it's nice to see that, hopefully going a different direction, and be fun to see how that comes out.
Yeah, new stuff at SLS. New stuff happening at Stratosphere. There's a little bit of momentum building on the north end of the strip. Monday's Dark is back for another year. The next few shows are January 14th, February 4th, and February 18th, right here at the Space Mark.
It's amazing. We're launching into another season. 21 amazing local charities to benefit again this year. It's just, again, time flies. We're in year 6 of a goofy party that I started just to give back. It all goes back to the Rock of Ages days and thinking I was coming out to Vegas for 6 months to do Rock of Ages, and here I am going on 6 years, and it's a ride. The charities in town love what we're doing, and as long as the charities want to be a part of it, we're going to keep throwing parties. So first one is January 14th, which is Monday. The theme is Chicago, the band, not the musical or the city, the band Chicago. We're going to do all of their hits. The recipient is the Discovery Children's Museum downtown. And it's a great way to kick off the season. And then February 4th, the Crohn's and Colitis organization is our partner, and we're going to do the music of Queen, which is obviously timely with the film.
Oh, shit.
And that will be a lot of fun. Excited for the 2019 here at the Space. A lot of fun projects on the go, but Monday's Dark obviously is the hub to everything, and just really excited to launch that on Monday.
Don't forget to hold me a table for this
You
Monday.
Got it, man. You got it.
I think that's the first time that I've cursed on the show.
Just now?
You have said things a lot, but I think that was my first
one. Why are you throwing me under the bus?
I got excited about Queen.
You're up 1-0. I don't think I cursed at all this episode.
I got excited about Queen. I couldn't contain myself.
I'm excited about this show this year. I really am. I think this All the Vegas is going to... It's exciting, man. Excited. And, you as our first guest, man, of the year. Couldn't have asked for a better way to launch.
Thank you, Michael.
It's fun to be here with you guys. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
What is coming up this year for Las Vegas Weekly? I'll tell you something special. It is the 21st birthday of Las Vegas Weekly magazine. Like right now, there's going to be a special issue coming out this next week. So you're going to want to pick that up. Las Vegas Weekly's 21. We're allowed to go out and drink and go to clubs now.
Look out.
For the first time. We've never done that before at Las Vegas
Weekly. That's funny.
Yes.
You should ask if you can open for Monique.
I don't think she's going to let me. I got to talk. I actually talked to her, and I was kind of sleepy that day. And she was like, come on, Brock, wake up. You got to give me a little bit something more. She's hilarious, man. And she was talking all about making corn pudding for most of that interview.
When is she on? What nights?
Weekends.
Yeah. I'm going to see Monique.
Eddie Griffin's Monday to Wednesday, and she's like Thursday to Saturday.
She's very funny. She is very funny. She's hosted a few major events too on like various award shows and things. She's funny.
Also, you know what? She's won an Oscar. Did you know that? She won the Oscar for Precious.
Yep. She sure did.
Like 9 years ago.
9 years ago was Precious?
I think so.
Man. Yeah. Time flies. Mm.
And Las Vegas Weekly has been around for 21 years.
Not really.
It's an adult.
That's crazy. Michael Morton, thank you again for spending time with us here at the Space today.
Thanks for having me, Brock.
Everybody,
thanks, guys.
Get to those restaurants. I would say definitely go to MB Steak as much as you can right now. Things are going to be changing there. It will be there again on the other side, but we might miss it for a little bit, so let's pack it in while we can.
Greek Sneak. I can't wait to go.
Greek Sneak, too, at MGM Grand.
Come over.
Yeah, if you're listening and you want to hit up Greek Sneak before a Golden Knights game, hit me up on social. Let's make a thing of it.
You can catch all the episodes of All the Vegas at allthevegas.com and on Apple Podcasts and on Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube channel. I forgot to tell you guys, I've been cheating on you. I started another podcast.
Yeah, I know.
I feel a little bit bad about it, but not that bad. It's okay, though, because it sucks a little bit. It's not as good as this one. It could never be as good as you, baby. Come on. Don't be mad.
He looks a little sad.
No, I'm just going to sit here in my corner.
The Sun on the Strip is the new podcast that I started for the Las Vegas Sun. It's every week on Wednesdays. It doesn't suck, but it is not as good as this. It's just running down the week's news and developments on Las Vegas Boulevard with different people from the newsroom, Las Vegas Weekly, Las Vegas Sun, and Las Vegas Magazine joining me to chit-chat every week. Check that out. Also on Apple Podcasts and at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Mark and Ken. What am I supposed to say at the end of the show, Ken? I can't remember. Drive carefully. Come back soon.